chapter number 5. We're going to read verses 25 through 34. I'll give you just a moment to find it. Mark chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse number 25, and we'll go ahead and read down through verse number 34. Let's get started tonight. The Bible said, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, this is in the middle of what we looked at last week, talking about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. We dealt with that. But we left out this part about the woman that has an issue of blood. Now, when we finish this up tonight, we'll be done with chapter number 5. And this is the 26th lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. And she's always called the woman with the issue of blood. I thought about that today, and that is how we recognize her, how we identify her, but I think we could also call her the desperate woman. That's what I would title the lesson tonight. As I'm trying to give it a title, I've just called it the desperate woman, because here we find a woman, and she is definitely in a desperate situation. When I think about her, I think about somebody who has come to the end of her rope. She's exhausted all of her resources. Last chance for her, we might say, if we were to study out and think about this tonight. One thing I notice about this woman is that her name is not mentioned. You know, she just called a certain woman. Now, names in the Bible always have a meaning. Last week, for example, we looked at Jairus. His name means enlightened. And we see he's the type of believer, and he definitely received light in his life. He was enlightened in many different ways. He had a crisis in his life. He knew where to turn. He knew who to go to. He had some light. He had faith in the Lord Jesus. If you'll just come and touch my daughter, he knew that she would be all right, she would be healed, and that she would live. Verse number 23 is what that says. But this woman, it does not tell her name. Now, she had a name, no doubt about that. And her family knew her name, and her name's important. But in the Bible, have you ever thought about something like this where the person's name is not mentioned? Wonder if that means anything. I was just studying and thinking about this today. I believe that when we find people in the Bible, that it could have just as easily mentioned their names. But it doesn't mention their name. I think we could say that, you know, you could fit anybody in there. This could be anybody's experience. Any one of us could find ourselves before morning in a desperate situation, and we need the Lord just like this woman needs the Lord. This woman is a type of a sinner coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody find themselves in the same situation. This woman is also, She is a picture or a type of a saint that has a need in their life that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So she's a, you know, sometimes you find that phrase, an every man's man. She's an every woman's woman. We could all fit ourselves in different situations in our life into this passage of Scripture. So there's a lot of ways we could look at her life and a lot of applications that we could make, but no matter which way we make an application, whether she's a sinner, whether she's a saint, we'd all agree tonight she's in a desperate situation. So I want to think about it tonight as the desperate woman. She is in a desperate situation. We'll see what she does as she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first thing, and we're just going to go verse by verse by verse, the first thing that we find in verse number 25, we find the disease that she has. And it's mentioned here, the Bible said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, talking about the same passage of Scripture, it says, a woman which was diseased. She had a disease of some kind. The Bible does not say what it is. Here it is just referred to as an issue. An issue. And when you find the word issue there, it means a flowing. If you read on down there, when she was healed, it said the fountain of her blood was dried up. What it means is this: she bled all the time. That's what it means to have an issue of blood. The word issue means flowing. Flowing, nonstop. She bled all the time. If you look down in the last part of verse number 34, when the Lord Jesus healed her, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, plague is a disease. She had some kind of disease. Something is going on in her life, and it's a very serious situation. Now, some of the effects of a person bleeding all the time, and there is a medical terminology for that, and it's something that even today still happens. This is not an ancient problem. But she had a problem, and it had been ongoing for 12 years. Some of the effects of having an issue of blood would be, number one, would be this weakness. Now, we would call it, or might be referred to, if a doctor or a nurse was talking about it, some form or some type of being anemic or having anemia. The word anemia, it comes from a Latin word which means low blood or lack of blood. If you've ever known anybody that had low blood, had blood problems, some of the results of that would be pallor, meaning to have a pale, you know, if you have somebody that's losing blood all the time, they're going to be pale in their complexion. So pallor, shortness of breath, lack of energy, lack of vitality or vigor, weak in body, worn out all the time. The disease that she had, maybe at this time it's not a life-threatening, but it is certainly a life-changing disease. She feels bad all the time. She's weak all the time. She's pale all the time because all the time, for 12 years now, she's had an issue of blood, according to the Bible. She's bled for 12 years. It caused a person to be weak. But on another way of looking at it, not only would you just be weak, but ceremonially speaking, as a Jew, she would be classified as being unclean. Anybody, any Jew, and, you know, they had some sense. Unlike in our day and time. You remember years ago when not just anybody could go up into the hospital rooms. Now it's, I guess, a turnstile policy. I mean, people are going and coming all the time. Doesn't matter what somebody has, what disease, if it's contagious or not. You know, we'd be a lot better off if we had used some common sense. In the Bible, they had some common sense. God had laws that he gave unto his people that regulated if somebody had an issue of blood. And yes, ceremonially it meant something, but it also meant something as far as just being sanitary and not passing things along from one person to another person. They had laws about cleanliness, but they had laws about if somebody had an issue of blood. Leviticus chapter number 15, we'll not turn over there. I'll just share a few things with you, but it covers both men and women that had an issue of blood. For example, Leviticus 15 verse 2, the Bible says, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. So if a man had any oozing, any, I know this is not pleasant to talk about, but any bodily fluids, whether it's a wound, whether it's anything like that, God said that man is classified as being unclean. And God gave certain laws about anybody that had an issue of blood. And if you study Leviticus chapter number 15, there was a provision if a person that had an issue of blood sat on a seat. God said you had to take the seat and wash it with water, and it'd be unclean. It had to be set aside. It goes on down and it talks about if any man that had an issue sat upon a saddle, you know, on a horse or a donkey or something like that. God had made provision what to do with the saddle. If a person that had an issue touched any vessel, drank out of a glass, touched a pot, touched a plate, used utensils in the kitchen, God said anybody that's got any issue of any kind, if they touch any vessel in the house, it's to be unclean. You take it out, you wash it. God said that it's unclean. Can you imagine living like that? The children would come in. The mom would say, don't touch that. Don't sit there. Uncle so-and-so was in here. He's got an issue. He's got a problem of some kind. That's unclean. We've got to take it out. We've got to wash it. That's what the law of God says. That man, that person would be classified as unclean. It'd sort of put you off from visiting somebody, wouldn't it? If you had an issue of some kind, it'd bring a hardship upon a family. Then it goes on down and it talks about if a woman has an issue of blood, Leviticus 15, verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. Now this woman had an issue of blood for 12 days. Years. You see, in her life, there was no intermission from her disease. You know what it's talking about in verse number 19? What comes naturally every month. That's what's being talked about in Leviticus chapter number 19 and chapter 15 and verse number 19. But this woman, there wasn't no 7 days being unclean for her. She was unclean all the time. And all of her family and all of her social life and all of her contacts and all of her worship and everything. This affected everything in her life. Felt bad all the time. She was an outcast socially all the time. She was miserable all the time. Like a black cloud hanging over your head. This woman had serious problems. We see, first of all, in verse 25, her disease. Second of all, we see that there is a decline in her disease. Verse 26, there's three things. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Some things have not changed very much. Here we are 2,000 years later. You'd think that with all of our technology and we have the best hospitals and the best doctors and
We have medicine and facilities, and you'd think that the medical outlook would be a whole lot better than it was thousands of years ago, but you know, you can still suffer many things of many physicians, can't you? We've all seen that. Now, thank the Lord when somebody gets better. But Kim's mama used to say, she used to say about going to the doctor, you better not go to the doctor. Once you start, you'll never get done. She lived to be 99 years old. She knows something about it. 98 or 99. She lived long, 99 years old. Better not start going to the doctor. You'll never get stopped. That's what she said. And she was a nurse for 30-some years. She knew what she was talking about. I heard something today that said in the early 1900s, the cancer rate was 7% in our country. And today, it's above 50%. And they said that means in a family of four that two people will either has or will have cancer. And we hear about it more and more, seems like. I just don't think years ago that people had cancer like they do today. Preacher Carl used to say, I remember him saying this many times, it's a last day's plague upon us. Cancer. Did you hear about people having cancer? Most people who die actually die from the treatments. Chemo and radiation and all. It's hard for people to go through, and there's a lot of suffering involved in it. This woman had suffered many things of many physicians, and the missionary I told you about, they said that they were doing everything naturally, organically. Found out his wife had breast cancer. You know, I would not criticize anybody that decided to go a different route. See, it would be different if there was a high percentage of people getting better. Had a friend a while back, and he had a brother that was diagnosed with cancer, and he called every cancer center and all these hospitals all over the country. Nobody could tell him he was going to get much better. All they told him was, well, if you come here, on average, you'll live two more months. You come down here and we'll treat you and you'll get, on average, four more months or six more months. But it wasn't much. You can still suffer many things of many physicians, just like this woman did. And not only is there suffering, but if you look there in verse number 26, it goes on, it says, and had spent all that she had. You can still spend everything you got. Even if you got good insurance, whatever that is. Even if you can still spend a fortune. Spend everything you got. You get sick, have a heart attack, get cancer. You just name it. All kinds of things. This woman, she knew what it was. She'd spent all she had. And then you can still be like her in the last part of the verse. It said, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She wasn't getting any better by all the doctors, by all the money that she had spent. In fact, she was just getting worse and worse. And so she had a disease, and it's in decline. And now she's broke, and she's sicker than she was. She's in bad shape. Then we find, thirdly tonight, there's a decision in verse 27. In verse number 28, the Bible said, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's a decision in verse number 28. She made up her mind. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And what we find there in verse 27, in verse number 28, we find that she had great faith when it came to her disease. She had faith in the Lord. Now, most of us tonight, you ask the question, can God heal? Can God heal? Yes. We'd all agree. I think we would all agree with that. Can God heal? Yes, God can heal. No doubt about that. Does God heal? That's the Old Testament we're talking about now. Does God heal people? Yes, God heals people. Everybody would agree with that. But let one of us get sick. Will God heal me? I sure hope so. See, it's different. Can God? Yes. Will God personally heal me? Boy, I sure hope so. I think so. That's how we're praying. That's how we're praying. If it's the Lord's will. Now, she didn't know anything about that, if it's the Lord's will. She knew. She had made up her mind. She said, if I may but just touch his clothes. She knew that she would be healed. This woman knew it. Look at verse number 28. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Knowing God is going to do something is different than believing God is able to do something. There's a difference between them two. I believe that every saved person, there ought to be some times in your life where you just know. You just know God is going to do something. You don't always know that. You might go and pray. And I've been in a lot of sick rooms before. Hospital rooms. People sick. I've experienced praying and knowing that God was going to answer the prayer. And then there's been times where I've prayed and asked the Lord for something if it would be His will. But I really didn't feel very much faith that it's going to be answered a certain way. Now, I can't explain that other than that God gives us faith to pray and believe certain ways. And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you honestly, you're just praying, Lord, we don't know what your will is. We're asking for you to do this. But I prayed and I knew God. I knew he was going to do a certain thing. This woman, when she came to this crisis in her life and this opportunity, she knew. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. That's great faith. You can't always pray that way. You can't always this exactly believe like that. You still know that God can. You still know that God does. But you don't always know in every situation that God will. But every once in a while, thank the Lord, you can know. You can pray in it. Got all the faith in the world that God's going to answer that prayer. She had all the faith in the world. In Matthew chapter number 9, it talks about two men that were blind. They came to the Lord Jesus. They desired to be healed. Matthew 9 verse 29, the Bible says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Sometimes we come and we pray like the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Sometimes you can pray and you know the outcome. You know God has just given you an extra measure of faith, I guess. And sometimes you come and pray and you say, Lord, your will. You just don't know. But this woman knew. There's a decision made in her mind, in her heart. And I believe God gives us the faith to believe. But she knew. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She was sure that if she could just touch the Lord Jesus, she'd be made whole. Well, we see in verse number 29, number 4, we see her desire granted. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, her desire was to be made whole. She had been sick for 12 years. She sure knew what that felt like. She knew if she could just touch his clothes, she'd be made whole. That means to be cured. 100%. That was her desire, and that is what happened in her life, was a miraculous cure from the Lord. There's three things in verse number 29 I want to point out. First of all, the Bible says, and straightway. That means all of a sudden, immediately, exactly at that point that she touched his clothes, she was made whole. Immediately she was cured. That is a beautiful picture of a new life in Christ. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was teaching on the radio this week, and this movie that's coming out called Unbroken. It's the life story of a World War II hero. His name was Louis Zamperini. And Louis Zamperini, he had just a fascinating life, but he was... his airplane crashed in the Pacific Ocean. He survived for 47 days. He lived 2 years as a POW, a Japanese POW. He was tortured, all kinds of things. But after the war, he came home, and long story short, he got saved. After he had turned to alcohol and anger and all these other things. But while he was floating out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, he made a promise to God. He said, God, if you'll get me home safe, he said, when I get home, I'll seek you and I'll turn to you and I'll serve you. Well, when he got home, he did everything he could to try to forget about that. But in 1949, he went with his wife to a Billy Graham crusade and he got saved. You know, when he got saved, he went home and poured out all the liquor that he had in the house. He never was, according to his own testimony, he never was tormented in his dreams again by the Japanese soldier that had tormented and persecuted him while he was a POW in Japan. Never came to him in his dreams again. And the hatred that he felt. Now, before he got saved, he was trying to come up with a plan to somehow go back to Japan and find that man that had tortured him and kill him. But after he got saved, he said, immediately the Lord took all that away. And I doubt that'll be in the movie coming out. But what a great story that is of what God can do in somebody's life. I mean, you talk about being a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not always everybody's testimony, but God is able to do that. God's able to take it all away suddenly. And that's what he did with this woman straightway. Her cure was sudden. Then in verse number 29, the Bible says the fountain of her blood was dried up. Her cure was not only sudden, but her cure was complete. The fountain of her blood was dried up. She was immediately completely healed. He didn't say come back in 2 weeks. We'll check it again. I was reading today over in John chapter 5 and verse number 24, the Bible says over there, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you get saved, you pass. We're not passing. Salvation is not a work that takes 10 years or 5 years or 2 months. You are saved. You receive eternal life immediately. We find a beautiful picture of that here. Her cure was complete. The fountain of her blood was dried up. And it said in verse number 29, and she felt. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You say, preacher, how did she know she was healed? She knew what it was to be sick. She'd felt that way for 12 years. She knew what it was to feel better. She felt in her body. People say, I don't feel saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to feel saved. But I really believe, and I know we're not saved by our feelings, but I'm glad that you can feel saved every once in a while. I don't feel saved all the time, but I sure know what it likes to feel like I'm saved, because I'm saved. If you've never been cured, you wouldn't know what it feels like. We don't emphasize feelings. We're not saved by our feelings. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can you have the Lord of glory move in and not feel like it every once in a while? I feel Him sometimes. Feels pretty good. It's good to be saved. Her cure was consciously enjoyed. I don't think I said that. I meant to. She knew. She didn't go home wondering about it. I wonder if I'm healed because He said so. No, the Bible says she felt in her body. She was healed of that plague. Now, verses 30 through 33, there's a disclosure. That means a confession. Verse number 30, the Bible said, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Now you remember from last week, there is a multitude of people gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ, so much so that they're pressing in upon Him. You look at the next verse, verse number 31, "And His disciples said unto Him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" They said, "Lord, look at all these people." I mean, they're everywhere. We're in a big crowd. And everybody's thronging means they're pressing in upon Him. "What do you mean, who touched me?" Verse 32. "And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing." Verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth." There ought to be a confession or a disclosure in our life. When the Lord has done something for us, when the Lord has saved us, we ought to tell it. But I know, and I've heard many testimonies of people getting saved and they went away and they didn't tell nobody. But really and truly, if you get saved, when you get saved, you ought to tell it. If you know the Lord has done something for you, if you didn't tell it that time, you ought to tell it the first time you come back. You ought to tell what the Lord has done for you. Now, there's a reason for that. The Lord did not want her to go away feeling like she had got something that didn't belong to her. He didn't want her to go away feeling like she had stolen somebody else's blessing, or go away feeling like she had done something wrong. Or to get home and say to herself, now, if she would not have confessed what the Lord had done for her, if He had not pointed her out or called her out, don't you think she could have got home and said, "Now, was that really the Lord, or did that last treatment finally kick in?" You know how old flesh is. So the Lord is helping her out here. Public confession strengthens our faith. Public confession emboldens us in our faith. After a person gets saved, they ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That is a public acknowledgement of an inward work of grace. It's one of the first ways we can testify and show, "I know I'm saved, I'm following the Lord in believer's baptism. He done a work on the inside." It's a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you get saved, you ought to tell it. Don't sneak out in the crowd. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And so the Lord didn't want to rob her of a blessing. And so He turned around and He said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" She came, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And now in verse 34, there's a declaration by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last thing. The sixth thing, there's a declaration, verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, her confession brought assurance from his word. Her coming and confessing what the Lord had done for her. He then, by his word, gave assurance unto her. The word of God will give you assurance. Say, I don't understand all that. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. If we're ashamed to confess him before men. And that's exactly what she did. She confessed it before everybody. What if she had went home and wouldn't have confessed before the Lord, and he gave her this declaration that thy faith hath made thee whole. Look what he said to her. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That is assurance from the Lord that she is healed of this. Now, if she'd have went home, if she'd have just turned around and snuck out in the crowd and went home, then the very next time that she felt a little something wasn't right, next time she woke up not feeling just 100%, you know what the first thing she'd have thought? She'd have thought, oh boy, I wonder if this is coming back. I wonder if I'm going to have a recurrence of this disease. See, when she went home, she didn't have to worry about that anymore. Because the head physician said, you're whole. You know, if you go to the doctor today and you've been having cancer or a cancer scare, there's a lot of that. The doctor, many times, he may say, can't find any cancer. But you know what he'll say? Make an appointment on your way out and come back in 2 months. We'll check it again. You may go and you may say, well, that problem, but you know you're going to have to go back. Living under that dread. People that have had cancer and it's gone away, come back in a month, come back in 2 months, come back in 6 months, come back in a year. And after a while, they might declare you cancer-free. But that's no guarantee that it'll never come back. But this woman, although she did eventually die, I don't think she died of that. Do you? The Lord said, you're whole of that plague. You don't have to worry about that. See, confession brought about an assurance from the Word of God. She didn't have to worry about that. When the Lord declares you disease free, you're disease free. And that's what he said. And be whole of thy plague. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's just some things you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you might worry about a lot of things in this life. But if you're saved by the grace of God, according to the Word of God, you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. You passed from under condemnation. You're not under that anymore. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Because if you remember what it's like before you got saved, boy, that's a... Talk about the weight of the world. What if I die? What if the Lord come? What if the rapture happened? That's a miserable way to live. When you're saved, you don't have to live worrying about those things. Praise the Lord for that. How can we know that? Because of the Word of God. Is it 1 John 5:13? These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you have passed from death unto life. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. And so the Lord, she came, she confessed, and the Lord basically said in verse 34, you don't have to worry about that no more. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What a blessing. You remember the Lord did all of this on the way to the house of Jairus. He had a daughter that was about to pass away. And this is a parenthesis or a story within the story. He's able to have, you talk about multitasking. The Lord is able to multitask. You and I are not very good at it. People think they are, but really they're not. Doing one thing, two things, three things at one time, it just takes me longer. But the Lord can do multiple things at one time. Isn't that a blessing? And so we finish up chapter number 5. I love